Welcome in. It is Monday, November 29th. It is the second day of Hanukkah, isn't it? Second day of Hanukkah.
It is indeed. Yeah. We have a new variant just popped up over the weekend. We're going to talk about that. What does that mean? Do you need to be afraid? Is it time to hunker down and buy new toilet paper? More toilet paper?
I guess. I don't know. Everyone should be really afraid as lockdowns are happening around the world right now. I'll tell you about that. Also, the Salvation Army, you know, the kettlebells, they look outside with Santa's ringing the little kettlebells. Salvation Army has gone woke, and it's really backfired. In fact, we have an update this morning on their plan to make sure that all white people apologize for being white. They've taken down part of their website as a result of this. So we'll get to the very latest on the woke Salvation Army story this morning.
And more people than ever are losing their jobs or leaving their jobs. We're going to discuss it. This is one of those things I'm sure that we are not going to agree on.
Probably not. I think maybe we'll all agree with the craziness of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, which starts today. People are calling it this trial of the decade. I guess we can't say century anymore because we already had one of those. That was OJ. Does that count? Because that was last century. I don't know, but that one starts today. So we'll bring you the very latest on some of the last minute shocking details about bringing in some of Jeffrey Epstein's evidence as part of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, which could be entered into evidence today. So all of that and more as we get uncomfortable on this Monday morning.
Well, over the weekend, we left the day before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and the world was kind of going along some new lockdowns in Austria and Germany and such. And now we have a new variant that's popped up that everyone is concerned about.
Yes, yeah. He particularly is so concerned about.
That's how I feel. I feel you, Boris Johnson. Also, I feel like my skin looks like that. This is a personification of how I feel about it. But also, it's important now to figure out how government and markets feel about it because it's going to affect us all. Now, this is a variant that's
Will it affect us all, or is it already affecting us because we're giving it too much credence?
Everything. It's affecting us because the markets are reacting to it. So by means of living in a connected economy, we're affected by it.
Okay.
Certain travel is being shut down between South Africa and European nations. And there have already been cases detected in most of Europe and Australia. Over the weekend, Dr. Fauci was asked if he thought that this was something America should be concerned about. And he says, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's already here. It's kind of a flippant comment.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's already here. I have, you know, this is, I guess we go with sort of the same evidence we've been using for a lot of stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, if someone told me, like, aren't you the guy?
Yeah, you should. Like, you're the guy calculating shouldn't the risk be surprised. Of that.
Like, you should be the guy that shouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Right? Like, you and I should be surprised, right? Not yes. Dr. Fauci. Like, he should be the guy that's not surprised by this. And yet he says we should be prepared to do anything, including new lockdowns, he says. The United States' top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci, said on Sunday that Americans should be prepared to do anything and everything. And that includes whether or not we need new lockdowns and new mandates.
Now, look, I've always been one to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think his job sucks. And, people die and it's really hard to know what's the right thing to do. But he took the job of his own volition. And I don't want to be, I'm trying so hard to not go to the crazy place lately, you guys, just because you know what it feels like to feel you're.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not in the crazy place. And I don't even want to say people in the crazy place are in the crazy place anymore. What I'm saying is that I would like to think rationally and only react to what I know. And what I know is that at the end of last week, we had a massive sell-off. And the United States was having to dip into oil reserves. And the stock market didn't like the way that was going. And now, when we have this new Omicron variant, it makes a difference because now the markets are starting to come back because we think, oh, well, people will need things more. This is good for the economy. We can put more stimulus, right? And so,
yeah, just take a look at the headline here
stock on Charmin.
Yes, exactly.
Or Moderna. Look, I mean, this is, I hate why this blacks out, but this is CNBC headline moments ago. This is literally moments ago. Breaking. Look at the top of your screen. Can you guys see that at home? Look at this.
No, I can't even see that.
Well, it was. It kind of updated. Okay. Well, it said breaking Dow futures rebound by 300 points after Friday's big sell-off. But earlier, just a few moments ago, the breaking headline right there was what was up early this morning was Moderna stock.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom stock is up.
I mean, it's like we're
Pfizer is up. Why do you think these things are happening?
I don't want to say causality. I'm just going to say that it doesn't pass the smell test, especially when you have this morning doctors in South Africa are saying that the cases that they have seen of the Omicron virus have been quite mild.
Right.
So even though it may be a virus that has up to 50 mutations, that doesn't mean it's 50 times more scary or dangerous to the human body. David, what is it that you know that you're... I'm sorry, I keep talking over you. I can hear...
It's totally fine. There's a little bit of a delay, so that always makes it hard.
Yes.
But no, like what I was going to say is there have been several people that were brought on with Dr. Fauci to act as consultants, basically.
Yeah,
experts. And because they would not push the narrative for the pharmaceutical industry, they were taken off of the thing. So Fauci is the one that is willing to push the narrative in the favor of the pharmaceutical industry. And so he's been all over the place this whole time. And people make an excuse that it's because he's following the science. But my argument is these people that have been saying these things, like this one, the guy that is the inventor of the mRNA technology, has been saying from the very beginning that you can't vaccinate yourself out of an active pandemic, because what will happen is you will end up with all these variants. And that's exactly what's happening. So I can't sit here and think that Fauci is not guilty because of the way he's not actually followed the data. It's like if you look at the data that these people are putting forward, these people that are out there actually in the fight, it doesn't line up with what they're telling us on, you know, on the mainstream side.
Well, and his big push right now is the way we're going to get out of this is booster, 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 right?
Right.
So we're going to get out of this
money,
with
money, money.
Rich, and so you see all these companies, right? So, I mean, one of the top headlines this morning is Moderna, Pfizer, and others are trying to see what they can do to tweak their current jabs so that we make sure that we can tackle this new Omicron variant, which, as you pointed out, is mild at best. And the precautions, the lockdowns, the discussions about, I mean, just look at Japan, Israel, bar foreigners, as WHO is now flagging this as a global risk from Omicron. I mean, the headlines across the board, markets face weeks of uncertainty and wake for Omicron answers. So all of this, like, Grover is upset about it, too. Like, COVID variant spreads to more countries as the world is on alert. Markets tank on Friday thanks to this. I mean, that's exactly why we saw this big Black Friday dump, is because of Omicron. Israel bans foreigners from entering country to stop Omicron variant. Israel now. I mean, all across the board.
Yes. I just want to give voice to the people who are of two minds of this, who are like, well, okay, we don't want to endanger other people who are immunocompromised, so we want to make the best decisions possible. Also, we want to make sure the hospitals don't overcrowd and people who need transplants and other life-saving procedures can get them. But at the same time, shouldn't we maybe know a little bit more about it before we have this big political and government reaction to it, right?
Yes.
If it's only been something that really hit the collective consciousness, would you say Friday, Saturday?
Yeah,
right?
And well, this is
what,
how...
You know what a lot of people don't realize is that there are two Pfizer vaccines, right? Only one of them is approved, and it's not the one that's being given. So you know, like, there's all of this information that is just like, we have no idea. We had no idea there's two Pfizer vaccines out there. We had no idea that the one that's we're being given is not approved. Like, these are experimental things, and it's like... You know, like, there's so much information on both sides out there, and it's like nobody knows, because we don't have a media that actually goes out and investigates and educates us. We're left to our own devices in a lot of this stuff, and that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, listen to how the mainstream media.
Because we're not experts at anything like that. So all we can do here is deduce from information what we think is BS and what we think sounds reasonable.
But if you, yes, yes. But if you look at the mainstream media and the way that they play this up, this is everyone's latching onto this as a major, you know, as a major headline, as a major way that we're all going to go back under lockdowns again. We need to go out and stock up on different food items and toilet paper, and we need to be scared. And I just want to say, follow the money. Right, because this is all of these companies on Wall Street that are upset and worried about their bottom line right now and this uncertainty in the market. You know, they get on the phone with these leaders and they tell them, look, we need some certainty in the markets because we can't have our stock prices facing this wild uncertainty in the markets. Remember, the markets don't like uncertainty. They don't like that there was a possibility of President Trump being impeached, right? Either impeach him or don't, but don't give us this, we may do this, because this uncertainty is what drives the narrative.
But the news networks loved it, and we have to remember that. And we are, you and I, a news company, a media company, right? Where we consider ourselves presenters of news, and we try to do this in a way that allows people to not freak out, to make empowered choices in their lives. And it's better for us when there's a new variant. It's better for us when there's a lockdown. It's better for us when the news is scary, right? So people tuning in and saying like, oh, it's okay. Like there's no crisis today. You know, like you could take it or leave it, your news. Like, but we have to be responsible and realize what's the better thing to do as humans, right? To play it up, to tell you should be scared, or to just say, we don't know. Like,
exactly.
We're trying to make that decision and not scare you.
It's to say, well, what's the data? It's to say, what are the facts, right? And the facts right now from really the only amount of research that's come out is that this is pretty tame. Like this Omicron variant, which is supposed to be scary, that the news media wants you to believe is scary, mm-hmm. and that governments are saying is scary, and we need to go under lockdowns because it's scary. It's not that scary. And I wanted to play this because this is how the mainstream media is playing this up this weekend. Watch how they admit right out of the gate, like this is a huge concern. This is a huge concern. And then like 2 seconds later, like we just don't know anything about this thing.
Concerns about a new COVID variant rattling markets and triggering new travel bans around the world. Tonight, we'll provide some context and clarity. We'll break down what scientists know about this variant and explain why health experts say people should not overreact just yet.
We're going to wait until you can overreact. Go ahead.
Well, and understand that a lot of times when they say health experts and they say those titles, they're talking about people embedded in the pharmaceutical industry. They're not talking about people that are actually out there in the field doing the work and taking the data.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. They're getting people that are on the payroll. Like they're getting people that are in a benefit.
Just like when they're trying to sell a war, they bring in all these generals and all these, you know, war contractors and stuff as their experts. That's the same thing they're doing with this. They're bringing in people from Pfizer. They're bringing in people from Johnson & Johnson. And those are their experts. And the data that they're giving you are paid for research. Like they're basically press releases from these companies.
Right. And
saying this is the case, but can I ask a question, right?
Okay.
What if this variant is more mild but more contagious, and it does in fact give more people the virus in order to and then build up an immunity for all of us, right?
That's what they're saying is the potential benefit of
it's the possibility that this happens, that we all get it, we have a flu for a week, and then we're okay, although you'll have to quarantine for a bit longer in most places, right? And then is this data that will be given to us, do we trust that it would be given to us? Because in the United States, a recovery certificate is worth about, actually less than toilet paper.
Right.
Right? Because people value toilet paper more there than the recovery certificate. In Europe, you can get the virus and show your recovery certificate as the same value as a vaccine certificate, right? So are we then going to trust that a recovery certificate is good for anything in the Western world? Because it seems like, especially in the United States, it's not. Now, I'm not going to say that this is the case, but I'm going to say that it's for us to ask.
Well, I wanted to finish this video clip because
this
was funny to watch, like how they admit they don't know anything yet. But we need to be scared about it. We're spending our whole show
in South Africa earlier this week. Today, a World Health Organization panel named the variant Omicron and labeled it as a variant of concern. Health experts admit there are still a lot of unknowns about this variant. They don't know if it's more contagious than Delta. They don't know if it causes more severe disease. And they don't know how it stacks up against our vaccines. Still, the White House says it's taking action out of an abundance of caution. The United States will restrict travel from South Africa and seven other countries in the region starting Monday. Reporters asked President Biden about the new policy early today.
We don't know a lot about the variant, except that it is a great concern. It seems to spread rapidly, and I spent about a half hour this morning with my COVID team led by Dr. Fauci, so that was the decision we made.
So we don't know a lot about it, but we're just going to block travel to all of these countries out of an abundance of caution. Okay.
So then why? I'm just trying to work out this model in my head. Mm-hmm. Why is the stock market up?
It's up today.
Mm-hmm. After a dump on Friday.
I mean, you're trying to figure out the markets. Right. You're trying to figure out like why the Dow is up 300 points
it's
this
like
morning.
You always get a, but you always get a headline from the Wall Street Journal. It's like, stock is up on fears that, or, you know,
right.
Futures are down on hopes that, as if like there's one little saying that's like, people feel this, right? But I don't know what I feel. So what does the market feel that I don't understand?
Right.
What do you feel?
Yeah. Look, I mean, stock futures, oil rise as investors weigh. Here it is. It rises as investors weigh. So we're just weighing it now. Like, we're putting it on a scale and we're just weighing what
and
the stuff.
And people are saying, okay, let's go ahead and
right. invest. All right. Shares of vaccine makers jumped pre-market, of course, you know, so we have all the, you know.
You know, like I've said from the very beginning, if this wasn't about the money, they would have all come together and they would have figured out how to do this together. It would have been a global effort with scientists and the brightest minds in this, in vaccine technology. They would have all got together and they would have worked on this and figured something out. But the
if
fact
this wasn't
that
about the money, then we would really have a discussion about the food supply system that weakens our immunity, that makes us more susceptible
right.
to
nobody,
a virus like this. Like,
yeah,
we would be
talking
about sugar. We would be talking about forever chemicals. Those things make us all more vulnerable as a population to COVID and other pre-existing conditions. But that's not something that's ever like...
No, and that's why we need to educate ourselves. I mean, that's why this show exists, right? So we question these things. We inform ourselves and educate ourselves. You know, imagine if we had a president that came out and said, you know, this COVID thing was pretty bad, but I guess what? You know, United States, why we got hit the hardest? We're the fattest country in the world, and we eat so much processed food. And hey, Kellogg's, I know you guys have been having all those striking workers over there, and they've been, you know, working their tails off, making Frito-Lays and all this other garbage food. You know what? It's kind of good that no one's buying it.
Well, don't you think it's kind of a tell, like a major tell, that if the pharmaceutical industry is protected by the federal government, with just the fact that they're going to hide that information of how that was approved so quickly for 55 years, that just tells you that's a protected class of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So let us know your thoughts on this, guys. We've got more news to get to here on the old show today. We've got more news to get to. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at Coinbase. Coinbase, you guys identify as crypto curious out there? How many of you guys watching right now identify as crypto curious? If you've thought about entering... I think you would. Yeah. And I've been telling you, you got to get yourself a Coinbase account because if you felt a little overwhelmed by the whole thing, you don't have to, because Coinbase just makes it super simple to learn at learning in the education space in crypto and how to buy and sell. It's very, very simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like it's a secret or sort of like exclusive club. It's not. It's not. And Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door on this. And they spent years focusing on building an incredibly safe platform. They have years on a lot of other competition out there because of the amount of time and attention they've placed in making their platform safe and secure. They support the most popular digital currencies in the market. They make them accessible to everyone. And they offer portfolio management, protection, learning resources, and inside their mobile apps, you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. This weekend, we were traveling up in the mountains of Portugal and northern Portugal, and I had my Coinbase app while Natalie was driving. At one point, I had my Coinbase app out, and I was literally trading REN, R-E-N, while she was driving. I was making a trade while we were driving, right there inside of the Coinbase app. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start with Coinbase. It's empowering. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin. You can get it right now when you sign up. All you need to do right there, the URL on your screen, coinbase.com/invest. Sign up today, coinbase.com/invest to get $10 in free Bitcoin. Bitcoin roared back. The bulls showed up overnight, and Bitcoin is surging. This offer is for a limited time only. Be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/invest. Thank you for supporting the show, and I'm thrilled that Coinbase sees the value in our show. So thank you to Coinbase for supporting Morning Invest.
Well, the Salvation Army has people up in arms today, over the weekend especially, about a new manifesto that is aimed to teach its patrons and its employees about racism. Some people find this offensive. I don't necessarily find it offensive, but I think Clayton probably does, so this is another one I'm going to crack my knuckles in. See what you have to say about this, darling.
Well, Salvation Army is defending itself this morning. I mean, they're defending itself over this guide telling white people that they need to apologize for racism. The Salvation Army recently, they have this internal memo that discouraged colorblindness and encouraged staff members to apologize for being white. And now this guide has faced backlash, so much so that the Salvation Army felt the need to come out with a response to this and say, whoa, 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 wait a second. This isn't us being woke, which is, that's exactly what it is, in my opinion. This is the Salvation Army being woke.
I don't think so, but go ahead.
I do. And a lot of other people agreed and started pulling their support for the Salvation Army.
What does that mean, though? You just don't drop coins or your cigarette butts into their, like, Santa buckets?
I guess. Well, it's one way.
Don't shop at their stores or...
Okay.
Yeah, don't shop at their stores. And also, you have
a hard time... Don't give away your t-shirts you don't want anymore.
Your canned food and stuff.
Yeah, so they can't raise money. And they're having a problem also with people trying to... they can't find the Santa helpers. So people are saying, well, we're just not going to stand out there and help and volunteer to be someone that handles these buckets.
Is that because of this manifesto or is that because COVID?
Well, that could be in part. That may be separate, but I can tell you that the supporters who would normally donate to Salvation Army are saying we're not going to do it anymore as a result of this racial guide that they released to internally, basically saying that, and I agree with some of what they say, of course, color blindness is harmful. If we don't see color in people, we pretend that it doesn't exist. That's a problem. That they say, though, that we need to apologize for being white. That this is something that needs to be, like, if you're a white person, this is something that...
Where did you see that? Because I read the manifesto and I didn't see something that said we should apologize for being white.
In the guide, Let's Talk About Racism, released in April, it meant to provide, as they say, an internal dialogue on the issue of racism among members of the Salvation Army.
Yes.
While many Salvationists have acted firmly and courageously against racism, the Salvation Army acknowledges with regret that Salvationists have sometimes shared in the sins of racism and conformed to the economic, organizational, and social pressures that perpetuate racism.
What's wrong with that? That's not saying you should apologize for being white. That means that you inherently have privileges along with being white.
There is an urgent need for Christians to evaluate racist attitudes and practices in light of our faith and to live faithfully in today's world. We need to seek the wisdom and grace in God in every parts of our lives.
What's wrong with that?
What the story is that I've heard and seen out there is that when you're going up to the donation bins, when the people are out there ringing the bells, whenever a white person drops coins in, they're asking, would you like to apologize for racism or whatever.
Is that happening, you guys? Really?
I would love to know if that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I've not verified it, but I've seen several videos about it. But I've never seen a person videoing it happening. I would have to go down that rabbit hole, and I'm very selective of my rabbit holes.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we just go back to the guide itself, okay, and if they're telling, and this is an internal guide. Well, by the way, I should mention,
you've opened the guide.
Okay, if you can send it to me, they've pulled it down off their website.
I have specifically.
So if you go to their website now, the Salvation Army has taken this down.
But they have a manifesto that they wrote within the last, I want to say.
No, the one in April has been taken down.
Okay, so, but they have one from even earlier, 2017, that addresses a lot of this. And I think a way that's quite appropriate. I don't agree with their application of scripture here. I'm not a Christian, so I'm not going to interpret their text for them. But I don't think that this, like, chosen people bit is, I don't know. I'm not going to go that way. But I do think that there's nothing wrong here with telling people to recognize their privilege or asking. Because
is that the job of an organization to tell
it
you?
It is still to tell a religious organization. And religion takes all kinds of jobs to tell you what to do. All okay. the time. That's like
and I
the
think,
thing about I, religion.
No, I get that. But to tell people to, first of all, you're taking this woke position where you're telling people to now you if you're white, you need to apologize. This idea of apology for being white. Okay. And does that mean that I can't donate to you now? Or, you know, am I sinning because I'm white and I haven't forsaken the injustices of racism that I can't
I
donate
think,
to
yes.
you?
That yes.
I can't donate to you? Like you
I'm not saying
take
you can't
money.
Donate to me, but if you're going to join a religion and you're going to act according to the tenets of that religion, they absolutely are going to tell you what to think. Why are people surprised that Christians like to do this?
Go on.
That's the thing. That's it. The Christians love to tell you how to be and how to think and how to act and how to live your life. Why is this not okay? Why can't they then do this
That's
in a
I
way
left.
About racism?
But I yeah. left when I was 19. I had questions and they're like, don't question. You got to have faith. I'm like, no, I have questions. And they wouldn't answer my questions. I'm like, I'm out of here.
No, if you question, you're not good for these organizations.
Or any religion. Okay, yes, but this organization is doubling down on being a Christian, and they want to say our form of Christianity now is more inclusive, and we want to recognize that many white Christians have a privilege, and we want to sort of make some words that make that a little bit nicer. They're using their platform for something that they think is good. I absolutely think it's within their... Christians tell you when you can have sex, what you can eat, what you can, you know, like, why can't they tell you? Then how about we be a little bit less racist?
Okay.
Well, and that's the thing.
That's the question.
If they want to do that, they have every right to do that. I would have a right to put out my own manifesto as well, but the ramifications of my manifesto and what I do, I need to own up to that and accept it. So if people are freaking out about this, they don't want to give, that's their prerogative. They were giving before, and now they don't like what the message they're putting out. That's on them. That is their prerogative. They can say whatever they want.
You know,
absolutely they can. This is an organization that also is against premarital sex. How many people refrain from putting some coins in the Salvation Army because they are offended by the premarital sex part, right? Like, we cannot use logic about things like this. This is just an organization that's deciding to use its voice against something that it thinks that it has a voice for. I have no problem with this. I mean, more I have a problem with the existence of the, like, all the laws, not just this one, you know?
Well, I mean, so, and it's in it, you know, this is what people are saying, that they have become woke, so we're pulling our money back, and we're not going to donate money. I mean, this is so, I'm just bringing you the story that, hey, now they've pulled this off their website. So this...
Well, and there's a saying on the internet for a reason, go woke, go broke, because right. I've seen it time and time again mm-hmm. where these companies try to go woke and it backfires every single time because they're asking us to apologize for things that we have no control over. We should right. not pay for the sins of our fathers.
So you are white and you need to stop being, you know, you need to really work hard against your white culture background. You need to apologize for your white racism. You need to apologize for your move towards color blindness. Okay. Here's what their response was to all of this. They're standing by. Here's what I don't get, though, and this is, I think, the hypocrisy of this. They're standing by their manifesto that they released in April, and yet they've pulled it down off of their website, so you can't read it now. It's taken down, and all of the links, if you're like Fox News, everyone linking to this, it's now been taken down. But here's their response. This is they felt the need to respond to this on the false claims on the topic of racism. The holidays are a welcome reminder of the things we're grateful for and for the power of service on behalf of those who are less fortunate. The Salvation Army mission statement clearly outlines the nature of our service, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in his name without discrimination. The beliefs that motivate our service are based solely on the Bible, and that will never change. But although we remain committed to serving everyone in need, regardless of their beliefs, backgrounds, or lifestyle, some individuals and groups have recently attempted to mislabel our organization to serve their own agendas. They have claimed that we believe our donors should apologize for their skin color, that the Salvation Army believes America is inherently racist. That's what they say in there. They say it's literally structured that way. And we've abandoned our Christian faith for one ideology or another. Those claims are simply false, and they distort the very goal of our work. The truth is, the Salvation Army believes that racism is fundamentally incompatible with Christianity, and that we are called by God to work toward a world where people are loved, accepted, and valued. Our positional statement on racism makes this clear. These beliefs and goals are critically important because we know that racism exists and are determined to do everything in the Bible asks us to do to overcome it.
Wait a minute. If they're going by the Bible, then they would not be accepting and loving of everyone. And we all know this. I mean, anybody who studied the Bible should know that.
Yes. Neither man who lie with man or...
Yep, or
right, we cannot, shellfish. No.
If you're eating clam or I mean, lobster and stuff, you are damned.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm going to quote Joseph Campbell here, is that the Bible is a tale for us to learn from archetypes. And he says, if you use it as your only guide to live your life, it's over-identification of the myth, right? It's the hero's journey. It's like, it's there to provide us comfort and stories and archetypes. But it is not meant as a template, right? There's genocide, there's rape, like justified rape. There's so like we're not saying here, you cannot pick and choose which part of the Bible you want to then say like this, but not that, right? It doesn't
exactly
work that way. In the same way as if you read Greek mythology, you can't actually think you must kill the Minotaur or
that's like Bill Gates saying, the only reason I hung out with Jeffrey Epstein was because he was getting me donors.
I don't quite understand that.
I'm saying like you're guilty by association based on like if you're going to endorse someone or something, then you are basically endorsing everything they do.
Josh, yes, in our chat says, I'm unsubscribing. Josh, before you unsubscribe, I'm curious as to why. Let's have a dialogue. This show is meant to make you uncomfortable. Like if facts make you uncomfortable, then okay. But I would love to hear this, Josh. Please, before you unsubscribe, please tell us why.
And I wanted to specifically mention too, like I was on my way, like I was in church for a long time and I was on my way to being a preacher, and it was reading the Bible that made me actually pull away from it and be like, I could never teach people this. I could not, like when I felt like it started me questioning, when I was like, I love people more than this guy in the Bible, you know, in this book, I could never teach people this bad stuff. So I pulled out when I was 19, I had a free ride to college and everything.
Okay, I'm going to, for those of you who feel very uncomfortable with this kind of challenging of the Bible, I'm going to refer to a great book called Good Book. It's just called Good Book. And it is a retelling of Bible stories, but from kind of like a Seinfeld kind of sense of humor. And it's fun, and it's funny, and it is not sacrilegious at all. And in fact, the person who wrote it felt a little bit more adhered and more endeared to the Bible after. But it helps you to understand that a lot of these stories are told in a way that we are not supposed to emulate, you guys. And so I encourage you to think outside of just this one document as your life's template. But that is not what the Salvation Army can do. That's not their thing. So I feel like for them, if you're doubling down on this, like we are a Christian organization and we interpret things according to how we want to live and how we want to admonish other people, that's not how I want to live. But I think like let them. That's what they should do.
Yeah, you know? And that's why I'm bringing it up. You know, a lot of people are upset about it and saying that they've become woke. And that, you know, they're going to tell people that we should, you know, color blindness is harmful and that we need to apologize for history of white racism. Okay, that's totally up to you. You know, but it's an interesting discussion. And I think that, you know, Tradian says here in our chat, huge misses on the understanding of the biblical text here. David, I'm sorry that they didn't answer your question. We should have dialogue. We'd have dialogue to know more. I'm curious what that's about. But other people saying, you know, we are, as Christians, we only follow the New Testament. I saw a bunch of people saying that in the chat. Is that true? Well, like do you only, as a Christian, you only... The first half of the Bible you
ignore? Well, the second half of the Bible is the same retelling of the same story by different people.
Right.
Right? Each apostle just has their own take on the life of Jesus. And so a lot of people do feel like the Old Testament is the sort of template of life, and the New Testament is, you know, the sort of, I don't know. I don't know a good way to put that.
What I want to know is all the stuff that the Vatican has hidden that they won't let us know about, because they know it would totally undermine Christianity, the stuff that they have in the catacombs. Thing.
Everybody's like, oh, the New Testament is all about love and all this other stuff, but there's specifically a verse in that where Jesus actually says in red text, bring non-believers and slay them before me. Like, you know, and it's like yes. That's the thing. Like, you can interpret this however you want, but this is a book that is how many years old? And we still, it's just like, I still disagree with the fact that we follow a constitution that was written in 1776. I feel like we should do like Iceland and we should update this to current times, because there's no reason that we need all these Congress and Senate people representing us now, because we all have the internet and we have ways that we can do things that we don't need them because they don't represent us.
Cola T in the chat says, the Bible also tells you to trust the government. Go figure.
I mean, you make a good point, right? Because the Bible does say give Caesar's things to Caesar, at a time when it was during the birth of currency as we know it. There was no reason for currency to ever be put into the hands of governments, except that Roman emperors wanted to stamp their faces on it when it was standardized in size and weight. Otherwise, there would be natural economic forces. So why, then, is that in the Bible at a time that it was critical for human economies?
Well, wasn't it written by Romans? I mean, I'm just throwing out questions here. Like, wasn't it the Bible written by Romans? I mean, who specifically? It was like 500 years after Jesus' life, right? It was written.
You're talking about the Old Testament.
The New Testament.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious about the history.
That is actually a really interesting point, though, about the Bible saying give. I never really thought about that. But I am not an unstudied person. I was raised reading the Bible a lot. I have since read a lot. This is not something that I feel like, you know, I believe that the Bible has a lot of meaning to a lot of people. And that a lot of people can take things that make them feel inspired and good in a lot of ways, that people can use Greek mythology and other archetypes in their lives. And I appreciate that. But I don't think you can take a Christian organization like the Salvation Army and tell them not to tell people how to think when that's kind of their gig.
Right. Well, and then that's why people are, you know, either they're jumping on it saying this is fantastic, you know, or they're saying that this is bad, right? So that's why we do these stories, right?
Yeah.
Doug S. says the Romans edited and threw out a lot of the books in the Council of Nicaea. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That explains that Caesar's thing to Caesar bit.
Huh? Right. Right. You can selectively edit things and take out what, you know, it's like, and here you go. All right.
The government's going to do you right.
That's right.
Can you print that?
All right. Well, there's your woke salvation.
Somebody told me I was quoting the Quran. So Francis, just so you know, the verse is Luke 19:27. It is not from the Quran. I don't think the Quran talks about Jesus, unless I'm mistaken.
What's the verse again?
Luke 19:27.
Luke 19:27. All right.
Okay. Yes. So for those, I do encourage always. I'm always like, well, let's have a book club. Read good book. You guys, I think it's a fantastic way to rethink about these stories as a way that you'll see that you are not meant to use this as a template for your life, and you are more in charge of your own decisions than you think. Hmm. And you can take your inspiration from anywhere, really. Yeah. But you're not meant to over-identify with any one tale, is how I feel about it.
All right. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about this, and then we're going to get to, we've got a lot more news to get to. We're going to talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, which starts today, and we're going to look at what's trending. But first, let's talk about why so many people are quitting their jobs right now, being called the Great Resignation. And it is really, really interesting, because I think the popular narrative is that if you listen to mainstream media and you listen to, I think, the upper class, it's just all these people are lazy, right? Get back into the system. Go back to work for these crappy companies that have treated you so poorly. And I think that David Dayan at the Prospect, American Prospect, has written a really interesting piece looking at the actual people that are quitting these jobs and saying, enough is enough. I'm tired of being treated like crap. Mm-hmm. And in this piece called The Great Escape, Why Workers Are Quitting Their Jobs After the Trauma of the Pandemic, he highlights different people, specifically this woman at PetSmart, Caroline Potts of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Is that she loves her pets. I have 5 cats, 3 dogs, and said, the only thing I don't have is birds. And so when I needed a job, PetSmart seemed like a good solution. My sister worked at PetSmart. I was there so much. So I started working as a bather. Showed enough promise to be invited to the company's dog grooming academy where they taught me how to cut hair. I knew it was what I wanted to do with my life. I was really passionate. There was only one problem. PetSmart, the company. Groomers were pressured to complete as many dogs as possible through a constant whirlwind of commotion and barking and often verbal abuse and harassment from customers. Without enough staff available, Caroline sometimes worked 7 days in a row. Company policy was supposed to prohibit grooming dogs with seizure disorders or those that couldn't handle the stressful environment, but they didn't care. They continued to push her to groom them anyway. Some died in the kennels from stress. One dog was terrified of the dryer. They wanted me to dry her straight through. Figure it out, they said. On and on and on this piece goes to highlight just the horrible conditions that these individuals have to work in and being told to work 7 days in a row without any time off. Don't ask questions. Don't get paid well. Don't get benefits. And just keep working more and more and more as other employees then quit and leave the job. And so then you're having to work more and more hours in these, you know, in these horrible jobs. But you have a problem with that.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't think that one anecdote is really telling us why people are not going to work. And I do think that it does matter that these people have social safety nets right now that allow them to...
Social safety nets?
Well, I mean, many states still have stimulus. We still have the child tax credit. We still have workers' tax credit. So people like this have a choice, right? So I'm not saying we shouldn't have these stimulus programs so that people have to stay in these total crap jobs at all. But why can she afford to do that, right? Like you think of a Mexican dairy worker in upstate New York who's freezing his butt off and sharing the same bed to work on the dairy farm that the people who work off hours are sleeping in. Basically, there's someone sleeping in these beds 24 hours a day while some worker, shift worker, goes off to make yogurt or whatever. These people are not quitting. They have to work.
They have to. They have
no
other choice.
So then why is there a certain contingency of people who can quit and a certain contingency of people who can't when the jobs seem just as crappy?
I don't think it's about choice, as we talked about here on the show before.
Income in the household.
Absolutely, it's about choice. Nobody's saying I will starve rather than fight dogs to shave them, right?
No, but
these are not her choices.
Okay, maybe specifically her. But why do you have 4.4 million workers who recently quit their jobs?
Social safety programs and have the choice. Illegal or other types of workers who, again, these people who are making your Chobani yogurt do not quit and do not have that option. They do not have these social safety nets. So you're trying to make the case to me that it's not because of the stimulus programs that people are not working. But there is actually a contingency of farm workers and people who are not quitting because they can't.
Because they can't.
Why can't? So then what explains why? Yes, okay, I agree. Many jobs are crappy.
Yeah,
why
all I'm
can a
is,
certain socioeconomic level of people quit? Why?
Well, I mean, as he points out in this piece, the trend has been characterized. Just about every economist and pundit has taken their crack at teasing out why it's happening.
So what is yours? What is yours?
Overall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a variety of reasons. I've talked about here on the show, I think a huge piece of this is that if, you know, you have childcare, when they're taking care of a child, a single mom has to stay home because the school is closed or the daycare is closed or the daycare is closed because the pandemic closed and then that particular daycare is out of work. They can't afford to then put their child in that daycare.
Costs as much as rent.
Absolutely, right. But you know that there is a difference between can quit and can't quit. Right. And so the story you're telling about this woman who loves dogs.
That's okay. But that's not me telling the story. I said he painted this at the beginning as an example.
But I'm asking you, not okay. But I don't want to talk about this.
I think you're conflating two things here. This idea that can, right? She can quit. And maybe she's getting some sort of a social safety net as a result of that.
But right, shouldn't we know if we're using her as an anecdote?
I'm not talking about her specific situation for everybody. What I'm saying is that there are so many people for whom they don't have the choice to stay in the job. So like they're not choosing to quit because like they want to work, but now they can't because they're having to choose between the job and their child. That's not a choice. That's not like a fun choice that we're making.
But no.
That's not what I'm saying. Because
she didn't have a baby in the midst of this dog grooming job.
Okay, you keep going back. You just said you weren't going to go back to her.
Okay. But where did childcare come into this?
That's a whole big piece of this.
But there's people who already knew they had kids, right? Most people know if you're a parent. You know.
Yeah.
So childcare was already something they were dealing with.
Yes, but what if their husband or what if another breadwinner lost their job as a result of the pandemic?
And that is in the category of cannot quit. I'm saying this because I'm thinking about specifically my mother-in-law who cannot hire anybody for her nonprofit business that pays a livable wage, right, for administrative workers to work with people with disabilities. And she says most of them say, no, I'm going to quit because I can make more on Social Security, I can make more on disability, or I can make more on the child tax credit, or I can make more. Like those people specifically are choosing not to work. And that's not a job that, like, they're not washing dogs or anything like that. It's administrative work. They're working with people with disabilities. Like, so I just don't think we can extrapolate that people just feel like all jobs are crappy. So they can quit.
But for many, many people, they have decided that I am done with living like this.
And what I'm saying is we need to understand who are the people that can quit and who are the people that can't.
Right.
And that's a two different, it's like they're still probably middle to lower class, but it's a wide gap between someone who really cannot quit.
Yes. But it's interesting to think about the people who at the low end are just saying, I'm tired of being abused. And you know what? I just won't eat.
Nobody's making that choice.
Let me go back to David Dayan's piece here, because I think a lot of economists have been trying to understand what the hell is happening here. And he makes this point pretty well. That's why I'm bringing it up today, because we've hit this new record high we're seeing from October, jobs data. This is a new record high of people saying I'm done. I'm not working in this environment anymore. I'm not going to work in this economy anymore. And I think what I wanted to get to is a little bit larger discussion about, well, maybe they could start to think outside of this U.S.-backed employment way of thinking about their lives and look elsewhere. You know, they're saying, I see these articles, how many people are moving to Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Great. What if they're actually leaving the United States? What if people are saying to themselves...
We've been having this conversation for a long time during this whole, you know, stimulus time during the pandemic, because you have people that are basically going to a job that pays them a low wage to where they're putting in 40, 50, however many hours a week they're putting in. And by the end of it, they can't even pay their bills. So it's like, why in the heck would you want to go to a job where you can barely pay your bills? And that's the thing, like, you know, the whole economy and then the fact that they're in Congress fighting for a $15 minimum wage, that still is not going to help people in New York, Los Angeles, all these other places that are bigger cities. That's not going to do anything. If you were to put the minimum wage to what it should be for those people, it'd be like $40 an hour. So
yes, but if you're living in with so little cash in your pocket, bill to bill, why can people quit? This is my big question.
I was saying maybe they have a second income, like a spouse or something that makes...
Let me go back to the piece, because he said in these moments, it's worth asking the workers themselves why they're quitting, and which we did. Now, we asked many of them, so not just one woman, but she says, you know, as he points out, the trend has been greatly characterized as the Great Resignation. Just about every economist has been trying to figure out what's going on here. Explanations have included health, safety fears, child care needs, a tight labor market, boosted savings from stimulus, so people had some extra money from stimulus, on and on. Enhanced unemployment benefits, increases in business formation, desire to work from home instead of working at the office, early retirements, people in the chat saying a lot of people moving, you know, are retiring early, restrictions on immigration, demographic shrinking of the prime age workforce. And he says, my personal favorite, expectations of a labor shortage creating a labor shortage. He said, some of these ideas have merit, though none can quite explain everything. In these moments, it's best to actually ask the workers themselves. I did just that. Talking to dozens of people who've recently quit their jobs or experts who closely track workers who have, and some patterns emerged. Work at the low end of the wage scale has become ghastly. I love that word. Over the past several decades, with no meaningful improvements in federal labor policies in the 1930s, employers have accrued tremendous power. Workers were afraid to voice any disapproval, taking whatever scraps they could get. The U.S. needs a reset, needs a big push to get to a place where work is more secure and livable for a lot of the population, says MIT economist David Arter, who has tracked the misery of American deindustrialization and the shock of China's rise as a manufacturing powerhouse. The pandemic functioned as that reset, creating a mental escape hatch from the immerseration, that's a good word, and even the danger of ordinary work. If you can call someone an essential worker for long enough, they start to believe it. They start to wonder whether they deserve more given their essential nature. Gaining courage from social media, the most vulnerable people in America have started the closest thing we've seen in a century to a general strike. And that, to me, is incredibly eye-opening to think about all of the people that we labeled as essential workers, right? Grocery store workers who are being paid nothing to stand there and give out crappy Frito-Lays to people during a pandemic and get COVID and die, or nurses or people in hospitals who get paid poorly or working long hours, these frontline hazard pay that barely got any kind of hazard pay. I saw so many people in the chat saying, what about hazard pay? Are we going to get hazard pay? Are we going to get hazard pay? We were out there. We were working on the front lines while everyone else was home. And I think that's interesting to think that this is like an eye-opening moment for these people that said, I worked my tail off and I got crapped on.
But economists are saying that as long as these people have options, right, then they're going to realize, then they will be incentivized to, they will have a safety net. They will have a reason, right? You have a child tax credit, so you don't need to work for minimum wage fighting a dog. I once read this book about these Puerto Rican crack dealers who tried to get legitimate work, and they found work for the SPCA in New York City, and they had to clean up dogs after they'd been euthanized. It was the most disgusting job you could even ever consider. And they're like, nope, I'm going back to selling crack because I can't deal with this. So we think about that kind of, that's a real crap job.
Yeah.
Right. And so they can say, no, I can go somewhere else. Why do you have the dictionary?
Well, Jonathan is saying there is no word immerserization.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan, yes, there is. Here it is. Here's the dictionary definition of immerserization.
Is it immiseration?
Immiseration. Immiseration. Rapid modernization had an impact on the level of urban immiserization. It's hard to even say.
Okay. Or as someone points out in the chat, maybe people are pulling their resources better. Maybe we move in with, you know, extended family so that we can figure out a better life for everybody. I am all for that, but I don't think we know yet the economic forces that are allowing people to quit crappy jobs. And maybe it is a movement of empowerment. I would like to think that. Or maybe it's just a pause. I don't know if we can extrapolate that so many people are going to get better jobs and do better for themselves because of this.
And I don't even think it's about getting better jobs. Maybe
Demanding better treatment.
Or maybe downsizing, you know, like David, you know, does overlanding and like this idea of minimalism. It's like maybe people realize, wow, I just don't need to do this. I can actually live on far less. Yeah. I'm just not going to, I don't need this ridiculously priced rent here in San Francisco or whatever. But I kind of go back to what he says in this piece, which is workers are quitting across the labor force. People I've talked to range from minimum wage workers to senior executives. He says, but the quit rates and job to job transitions in the Great Resignation are mostly taking place among workers with less than a high school education, whose daily toil is typically spent in dead end low wage jobs. an engine for corporate profits that produces some of the grimier existences in the industrialized world. But again, that's why we're seeing these, you know, these massive strikes. These people at Frito-Lay and Amazon and other people saying, you had us working day after day after day here at Frito-Lay.
Yes.
And so we can produce crap. It's not like Frito-Lay or whatever the company is making quality food. They're making crap food, and they made monstrous profits during this pandemic.
Yes, and no one is saying I will eat less Frito-Lay products because the workers are treated like crap and because there's a shortage of products and because of inflation. Like, the demand for these things has not really created a big lifestyle change. And my worry about this is that, oh, isn't it nice for these sort of someone in the chat really took issue with me saying middle class. I understand that there's that the middle class is shrinking, or it's debatable that it even exists, but there is a contingency of people who can quit because of certain social supports, right? And my concern is that there will be less visible immigrants who then step in to take those crap jobs, who have no rights, who have no social. And so all of us can pat ourselves on the back thinking, that's great, we're all doing better for ourselves, when there is a contingency of people who cannot.
Right. Well, it's a good discussion. And this just happened moments ago. Jack Dorsey is stepping down as
your buddy.
CEO of Twitter. My buddy.
Why?
So he can focus on Cash App.
Yeah, I mean, probably for Square. But I say Twitter's stock is surging at the moment, up 3.8% because of this news. So that's interesting. We don't know much more about it and why he's leaving at this moment, but there you go. Jack Dorsey stepping down as CEO of Twitter.
Good.
All right. Well, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor at Podium. And I'm going to cool down a little bit. I'm on a roll today.
I'm fired up.
Yeah. If you weren't in the chat before we got started, we talked about getting uncomfortable, and I mentioned that I'm already uncomfortable because I did not make good undergarment choices today.
Yeah.
Hopefully you do better than me. But first, let's tell you about our show sponsor over at Podium. If you own a business, you know that communication can be a drudgery and there aren't enough hours in the day wasting to play phone tag. The list of customers you need to reach doesn't get any shorter, especially when business is good. Like, hopefully it is, for you at least. That's why so many local businesses turn to Podium. Podium makes every interaction as easy as sending a text. So it sets up a communication channel between you and your customers that is easier and much less frustrating, so that your business can run much faster and more efficiently. It's not just a great way to communicate, it's a better way to do everything. Gathering reviews, collecting payments, even marketing to your customers, Podium makes this all easy as pressing send. You won't just free up more time, you'll grow your business and get more done. With Podium, you'll close those deals with customers before the competition even has a chance to call them back. So join more than 100,000 businesses that already use Podium to streamline their customer interactions. You can get started for free with this offer at podium.com/invest, or sign up for a paid account and get a free credit card reader with some restrictions applying. That's podium.com/invest. We thank you so thank them so much for their support. Okay, the last story we're going to cover today is about Ghislaine Maxwell. And this is something we agree on, that she's a demon. Right. So yeah. We don't have to have a discussion about that. There will be no
There's not going to be any
interaction or
You're not going to tell me why she's great.
That's I don't think so.
Right. I will tell you why she's bad, and then you're going to sit back. Well, I'm going to question this. I don't know. Maybe when she sexually assaulted those girls, that was okay. No,
she
good.
She thought she was doing them a favor.
She was helping them out.
It they was were a way, social were, program. Right.
So today, the reason...
Confidence building exercise.
Right. So, by the way, Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand woman, faces 80 years in prison. 80 years in prison if she is convicted on all counts. She's 59 years old. You recall, I mean, she's been under lock and key now for about, 17 months behind bars? 17 months behind bars after they found her hiding out in that, what was it, that beautiful house in upstate in New England. She was hiding, and she was almost, they almost got away. Like, she almost outwitted the FBI. They were tracking her down, and she almost got away. This is being called the trial of the decade. It starts today. The big question, though, is whether or not, like, what real shocks are about to pop out of here, which is, what are you doing? You're on the wrong screen here. Oh. Don't touch my keyboard.
It just...
She reached over to do a command plus plus.
Because, you can't see that, honey.
All right, I'll zoom in on here. You have to do it here, so it's the wrong screen. There we go. You want to see her closer. You wanted to see...
her pixie cut.
There you go. That's Ghislaine closer. She's shocked. Anyway, there's word today that the little black book, Jeffrey Epstein's little black book, is going to be introduced at the start of the trial, and it includes 6 pages of contacts, which apparently prosecutors plan to introduce, and they say it will give evidence of her guilt. It's going to show you all of the problems and all of the people that she was associated with. Whoa, here's another. You wanted to see her pixie cut. There is more of Ghislaine.
That's not a pixie cut, honey.
What is that then? I don't know.
That's a Peg Bundy.
I think that's called a troll cut.
She has been right now, she's been in a 6'9" cell. She's been there for 500 days.
Why did you say that like that?
I know. You said 6 foot.
Oh, did I say 6 foot?
Oh. Are you speaking German now?
6 foot.
No, that was a Freudian slip.
She's a sex pot. She's a 6'6". She is in a 6'9" cell that has been her home for more than 500 days. They have all of these. I mean, there's 80 journalists are showing up right now to the courtroom. What do we think is going to happen to her? I mean,
there are some reports that she may actually testify, and
oh boy,
that will be made for TV. Can you imagine?
What could she say that would keep her out of prison? I mean, you know, there are, you know, because you have a lot of accusers that are finally saying, like, we never got a chance to come forward. We never got a chance to speak at Jeffrey Epstein's trial.
Yes.
We have these, like, all of these sexually accusers who say that she specifically sexually exploited them, like, arranged and set it up so that they would be sexually exploited by Jeffrey Epstein, that she knew exactly what she was doing.
Meet the same fate?
Well, that's been the concern.
Oh.
Keeping her under lock and key with 24-hour surveillance to make sure that...
Just like he was.
So you think that he did not take his own life?
No.
I do not either.
And you think that whoever took his life will take her life to prevent...
Yes. And the cameras will magically have just malfunctioned. The guards will happen to not have been looking.
Yeah, when he gets killed, suddenly the cameras just went on the fritz during that period of time when he's being killed, and guards were suddenly not there when he's being killed. And I mean, it's, you know, of course. I mean, and what, you know, you think about, just think about what Prince Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Who tried to escape being served by the...
He was served, but he still is not going to respond to that litigation.
I mean, specifically, she's accused of helping to recruit, groom, and ultimately abuse 4 teenage girls. And these girls want answers. I mean, these girls want to be able to go and say, we never got a chance. We never got a chance before, and this is our chance to show exactly what she was doing. You know, charging illegal sex, trafficking. Specifically, she faces 6 charges: conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal acts, enticement of a minor to travel to engage in illegal acts. So she was coordinating all of these creeps.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she was coordinating all these creeps to fly to their creepy islands to do whatever she was going to do, to do whatever they were going to do with these people.
I mean, this is the archetype, right, of the lady that will cross other ladies to get what they want in life for their own gain. And, you know, and I don't know how much of this trial is a distraction and how much of it is important to break down certain power structures, because she has the key to so many people's power. We're in for a wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear, like, the Bill Gates stuff. I want to hear the Bill Clinton stuff. I want to hear, like, what comes out and is relevant to this, you know,
to hear that?
I want to hear. I want to know what's going on here with these powerful elites.
If she's able to speak about those people, if she is at all, they've probably made some kind of deal with her, and there's a list they're going to allow her to put under the bus on a list that she will not be allowed to. Otherwise, she will see the same fate as Epstein. Like, there's one of two scenarios there. It's not because some of the people that are, you know, in the court system would be guilty.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's because, as you know, from the you know, Kyle Rittenhouse or any of these other big high profile trials, the media can say a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Right. But when you actually get into a courtroom, and then what is admissible given the three alleged victims that are listed as minor victim number one, minor victim number two, minor victim number three, minor victim number four, according to the indictment, right? So what is relevant for the defense and how can they actually pull this off is to try to discredit these witnesses. All the Bill Clinton stuff, all the other stuff might be totally irrelevant, not even allowed to come up, not even allowed to be talked about. So as they point out in this piece this morning, the other three alleged victims will all talk about being befriended by Maxwell and being encouraged by her to perform sexual messages on Epstein. Massages on Epstein. Minor victim number four will also tell how she was paid hundreds of dollars in cash directly by Maxwell for providing Epstein with these massages. They will also highlight her intimate relationship with Epstein, including showing the jurors a picture of the pair swimming nude together. So we already know, you know, like a lot of the evidence because she needs to be able to see this evidence to defend herself against what the state has.
Wait, who is swimming naked with who?
That Ghislaine was swimming naked with Jeffrey Epstein. That's how close. Because all she's saying is, oh, I was just literally his assistant. Like, I didn't do any of this stuff. I'm just his assistant. I had nothing to do with any of this. I knew nothing. I was just his personal assistant. I just helped him, you know, with his booking for flights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're going to show that that's not the case at all, that she was intimately aware of all of this.
Okay. It's going to get crazy, you guys.
Starts today.
Yes, she is trending. I'm going to tell you about a couple other things that are trending on the internet today before we go. But she absolutely is trending because interest in her trial will remain high. And we'll see if she takes the stand or not, or what kind of evidence is released to the public. Okay. You want to know what else is trending?
Yeah, what else is trending today?
Okay. Matthew McConaughey is trending because the actor now says he will not run for the governorship of Texas. Thank goodness. He posted this on his social media in this. You can play it, but don't play the sound because he's an idiot. Go ahead.
Hey everybody, McConaughey here.
So I feel like I can say that he's an idiot without slander because I read his book. He's an idiot.
The audio is playing on that, just so you know.
Can I get sued for that, calling someone an idiot?
Let's try. Let's find out.
You have to empirically prove that he's not an idiot.
Right. Well, and this is your opinion of him being an idiot.
Yes. It's not really slander if you call someone an idiot, right?
No.
Is it? Okay.
No, it's not.
It's an opinion.
Okay. So anyway, I read his book and I think he's an idiot. And I am glad that he is not running for any kind of public office because
I just spilled coffee on myself. Am I an idiot?
You're not an idiot, but you're sloppy. Here, I have a tissue for you.
You're just clumsy.
Okay. Yes. So thank goodness he posted this. It was really nonsensical. This, like, we all should do our best. We need to figure out how to serve other people, how to be useful.
Katie asks, why do you think he's an idiot? That's a very good question.
Okay. I refer you to, again, this is just how I communicate with people. Read my Goodreads review of his book and you will see exactly why. I'm goodreads.com/Natalie Morris. And the book is called Green Lights. And I gave it 2 stars out of 5. Okay, he's a good actor. I enjoy his films very much. It's always nice to see someone who wants to, like, lean into that rom-com, you know, fine. I do not think he should be a politician.
All right.
Spider-Man No Way Home is trending because early ticket sales opened on Monday, and they crashed AMC and Fandango's website. We had several people in the chat. Some of them were super chat saying that they spent 3 hours trying to get these tickets. Some people saying they were up all night.
We tried to get them today, but we didn't get them.
I have not succeeded at this yet. Okay.
I'm still frustrated that it's exclusively in theaters. Like, that irritates me. I like the whole streaming thing.
It is interesting, right? I mean, this is what I mean. This is honestly what Scarlett Johansson was upset about, right? And why she sued Disney slash Marvel about it, right? Because it was supposed to have first run theater experience, and they released it day and date with the with Disney Plus, and she was basically saying, "Hey, if this was Spider-Man, or this was like a man's movie,
they wouldn't have done
say
this.
That necessarily, but it's true, right? I mean,
well,
they did.
It does seem like that is true,
right?
Yes, and they settled that case.
Here's a question for y'all: if Spider-Man, we knew Spider-Man was going to be released day and date on Disney Plus at the same time that it's in the theater, would we go to the theater to see it on the big screen or stream it?
I would stream it. I have my whole movie theater set up here in the house, and it's a much better experience than any theater that I could go to because I can get up and get popcorn. I can watch it naked. Like, there's so many things that I can do that I couldn't do in a theater.
Are you? Do you watch your movies naked? That seems cool.
There's some theaters. There's some theaters you can go.
Depends on what movie.
You can watch them naked.
Really?
Yeah.
In the United States? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
Paul Reubens watched
like
the movie.
Like the Pelican Brief type movies?
Yeah,
doesn't he get killed in it?
Reubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman?
Pee Wee Herman,
he goes to those theaters.
Okay, I don't think you're supposed to.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe at the nudist camps. But anyway, I would want to see it in the theater because, I don't know. I love the sound experience, the large screen experience. I mean,
yeah,
big
see,
movies like
that.
I
replicated that in my house. Like, I have Sonos with the Sonos, then the subwoofer, and then two surround speakers. Like, I have a really cool movie experience here. And like I said, I can watch it with my dogs here. Like, you know, and the theater, it's like, I go to the theater, you're dropping $6 on a bucket of popcorn when I can make three of those for, you know, a quarter here.
I hear you, but we have small kids that fight over where to sit, and that will happen during the movie. And in the movie theater, that will not happen. They will stay in their seats.
Yeah, they're
and
stuck
they will
there.
Not fight over things. And my secret is that I bring them their own little cups, like little reusable bowls that they use to share the popcorn, or otherwise they will fight about that. Kids fight over any kind of crap that they can.
And you know
and
what?
So,
honestly, if Disney would do it, like all they got to do is like they did Mulan, where you can buy it to watch it at the same time as in theaters for like $30.
Yeah.
And that to me was a good deal. I paid $30 to see that movie. I would have paid that at the theater anyway. And I had a much better experience. And so instead of just like keeping it like they did with Johansson, what was the
Black Widow?
Black Widow. They just released it. They didn't charge any extra for it. And I was confused about that. If they would have just charged $30 for it like they did the other one and gave her a cut of that, just like it was a theater release, like, hey, for the opening weekend, you get all of the ticket sales off of the theater and the streaming release, and all would have been well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I still want to see it in the theater, although I agree with you. If I got the surround sound, the Bose surround sound system like we had back in New Jersey.
And then, someone in the chat says, get your kids bean bags and their own popcorn, and you got to put them away from each other.
Yeah.
But you don't understand three kids' desire to fight over something.
Right. It's and to climb on all over you. Like, I've got my spot, and why are you climbing on me?
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, when they're 21 or whatever, then we're going to miss that. And
I'm sure I will.
You know.
But okay, right now, Hanukkah is trending because the Jewish holiday began on Sunday, and many people are searching, why is Hanukkah so early this year? Because it kind of snuck up on us. The answer is that Hanukkah is based on lunar cycles, which change every year. So sometimes the holiday can start as early as November. This year it ends on December 6th. It's going to be over before you know it.
I actually learned that today in the newsletter.
Yep. See? That's why you got to subscribe, everyone, to the Morning Invest newsletter.
Thank you for pointing that out.
It's the hottest commodity, right? But I don't know if you notice. It was just voted, the Morning Invest newsletter was just named by High Times magazine as the best morning newsletter.
I thought it was Horse and Hound.
No, they voted us the best morning newsletter last week.
Oh, okay. For horses.
For horses. But now High Times magazine has labeled us the number one newsletter in the world, and it's free.
Yeah, they actually quoted us saying it's a rip-roaring time.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. 4 stars. Go to morninginvest.com and sign up for the daily newsletter. You'll learn about stuff like that.
Okay, Carol G is trending because the Colombian singer fell down some stairs while she was performing in Miami on Friday. It looked pretty bad, and so people were sharing this. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And the music, I didn't want to play the music because I didn't know if it was copyright, because it kept playing. And it sounded like someone was still singing. So I'm like, okay, it was still singing. She was still playing. And I'm like, well, is this like a lip sync then? So yeah. I didn't want to like play it because I might have just been like right off the album, you know?
Yeah. I mean, those are some, you know, those are some heels. Whoa. So it looks like the heel caught the top. That's your worst nightmare.
That's why you wear practical shoes when you're doing stuff like that.
Exactly.
That was my big thing with like Madonna's Super Bowl performance. I was like, just put on some jazz shoes and bust a move. I don't want to see that you can walk in high heel boots. I want to see you really Vogue. So, you know, you got to hold back when you do stuff like this.
By the way, just to be honest with you, so this is exactly how Natalie fell down the steps a few weeks ago when we were in Austria.
Yes, I did.
This is exactly, like, it looks like almost.
But
like,
I was not wearing boots that were high heels.
We were leaving the hotel, and it was like an old hotel, and we were walking down the steps, and she did one of these. Like, it was like a total.
But not in a thong leotard.
No, not in a thong. It was like in a trench.
No, no boom, wedgie boom, that day.
What was that?
No wedgie that day.
Oh, there was a resulting wedgie.
But I love how this person didn't decide to start filming until she fell.
No, they're filming. They're good.
No, but this and person, like, watch.
Oh, the other person gets their phone out.
Whoa, let me get that.
She's on the ground. Okay, this is not funny. She really could have gotten hurt, but.
Yeah, as Robin says, I had a heel break when going down the stairs. I got very lucky. Ooh. Yeah, but good for her. She's okay.
You got to be careful when going downstairs, guys. You know?
Exactly.
Okay.
Especially in heels.
That's and finally, Tony, especially in heels, what? Can you talk a little?
Can you hear? You and I can't hear him today?
Oh, he's very low. Someone else in the chat room pointed
out. Somebody else is saying that I'm low too, but
you sound fine to me.
On here. But anyway, yeah. I was just saying, that is the exact reason I don't wear heels.
Mm, yeah. You know, they say that the high heels, they killed Prince.
Do you hear this better now?
Yes. Say something, David.
Hello, I mean, how's it going?
Better, much better. That, because Prince had so many knee and back problems from dancing in high heels for years and years that it created in him an opioid addiction. Mm. So anyway, yeah, you gotta, you know, I realize that high heels is the pain of being young. But at some point you gotta be a bit more sensible about it choose wisely when you're gonna do that is all I'm saying. Yes. Sometimes still break out the heels, but I also fall like a fool.
Yes.
Regularly.
You do.
Tony Bennett is...
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
There's no way to, like, brush that off and look cool either. Like, she gets her blue hair and she's like, I'm cool.
I'm good. People. I'm good. I'm good. I didn't just fall right? my ass. I'm good. I'm good.
Laugh if I'm not hurt. So...
Yeah.
Is she laughing? No, she's cool.
No, I don't think she's like, whoop, that one first one's a doozy. Whoa.
No, she's probably in her head right now thinking, I told that guy I did not want to wear these stupid boots, and they made me wear these stupid boots.
Yeah. Jonathan Stewart in our chat says, you know, what's the purpose? Oh, no, he says, high heels are stupid. My rant. Yes. What's the purpose of heels anyway? Good point. Good question, Stephen.
I'm not going to go down that. I could tell you, but do you want to know really?
Yes, we do. We definitely want to know.
What is the point of high heels?
It has to do with the way it lifts up your posture and elongates certain outfits. And
makes your butt look better?
It can. Yeah, it can sort of accentuate because you have to outwardly rotate your stomach, and then it just gives you more of an hourglass curve. And a lot of people like the way it looks with certain outfits.
It just made me look like a hunchback.
You've worn them when you were in the Lady Gaga video?
Yeah, when he was doing the review show in downtown San Francisco. He would wear that.
Fashion is
pain,
guys.
I was singing songs from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right.
Finally, Tony Bennett is trending because his final performance aired on CBS on Sunday, and the concert was filmed in August. This concert was filmed in August specifically, but Bennett has since stopped performing because his family has confirmed that he is suffering from Alzheimer's, but it aired last night on CBS to grave reviews with Lady Gaga.
Grave?
Great oh, okay. reviews. I'm great. Sorry. Great reviews.
Yeah,
everyone
loved
it. He's
not getting grave reviews yet.
No.
But 95 years old.
Impressive. Yeah. I was going to say, it's impressive that his music career has lasted that long.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a good review of the live show. I guess like Lady Gaga at one point gets up and she's like, you know, he's my friend. He's my inspiration. Give it, you know, I want to feel like all of your emotion tonight. Like, you know, this is for him and people. He got like 6 standing ovations during the show. Apparently people went nuts when he sang Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah.
People went crazy. I got to see him perform at an Apple event. He sang at an Apple event.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, just like one song and that was it, you know. But Tony Bennett, last performance, 95 years old. All right. Is that everything that's trending?
That's all I got for you today. I will have more for you tomorrow in the morning newsletter. You can read the trending bits, and then we will go over them and update them for the show later in the day. So make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. You are informed about what we're going to talk about, and tell your friends so that you can talk about this stuff together. Be informed citizens of the planet. Again, it's morninginvest.com. It is free. You just need an email address and make sure it doesn't go into your spam filter, because we work too hard to go into your spam filter. It's supposed to be fun. We ask nothing of you but a little bit of your attention.
And I've also got another YouTube channel where I publish latest investing news and things that I'm watching. And it's thank you. We just passed 20,000 subscribers. So to 20,000 of you, I want to say thank you very much. We've got a video publishing later today, Crypto News Daily. Check that out. Just go to youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. We'll be updating you about what is happening in the crypto space a little bit later today. Some of the big news and some of the big altcoins that I'm investing in right now. You can check that out a little bit later. There, go to youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. And David, where can we find you in the metaverse?
Yes, I am not in the metaverse quite yet. But I'm hearing good things about it. I do have my Oculus, not my Oculus, but my, what do you call it? The second one, the new one.
I never had them.
Yeah. I can't remember. Quest. It's the Quest 2. So I have that. But no, I cover like overlanding and minimalism. So, and I also talk about different subjects or whatever. So you can come and find me at youtube.com/overlandgeeks. So I'm live generally a couple times a week. So, and we do have some super chats.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
We got Sam Dorchester with a super sticker and Brent Stevens with a super sticker. Thank you. And then there was 2 super chats we already responded to. And then Derek Morris sent one. Keep an eye on what goes on in the background of the trial. A lot of times these kinds of things are used as a mask for more nefarious activities, i.e. the Ghislaine Maxwell case or whatever her name is.
Oh, I'm going to be reading everything I can on this because, you know, not for the gossip part and like the, I want to know who was involved with these people. And I want to know which rich people like that were hurting other people were involved in this. That's what's most interesting to me.
Yeah.
And we're trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think we'll ever know that. I don't think until, you know, those records will maybe be open in 100 years from now, and people, just like the JFK assassinations, people are going to make speculations. There's logs for the plane and everything, but yet these people, you know, Bill Gates is still walking around normal. Bill Clinton's still walking around normal. You know, all these people that were associated with him. So, you know, I just don't think they're ever going to let that information get out in much detail because it could ruin a lot of lives.
Yeah. Derek Eads wants to know, any more paranormal post videos? Yes, I'm actually filming one today, and I will have one released today. I promise you. It'll be released today, a new one. And so we're going to be ramping that up. So I apologize for the delay on that. Anyway. All right, everyone. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here later tomorrow, everyone. Peace out.